This week on football, Ashley Cole inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame.
He has been described as one of the best fullbacks of his generation.
Declan Rice, captains England.
Speechless, to be honest with you. I'm absolutely lost for words. I think when he said to me last night I was going to be captain, I gave him a hug, shook his hand and said, you know, thank you very much.
Kylian Mbappe dances around the Germans. The Italians are loving the MLS. Goalkeeper unlucky after this vicious shot. Kobbie Nainu makes his debut. And an emotional Vinicius Jr. breaks down during a press conference. Hello everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It is me, your host Alex, and we're on episode 75. If you haven't caught episode 74, go back and give it a go. Kilimanjaro, the man who was the face of Manchester United's kit launch. He's a globe-trotting producer, worked with Fred again, Swedish House Mafia, Fatboy Slim, absolute legend. What a great guy. What a great episode. I know loads of you listened to it, but if you haven't already, go and watch it on our YouTube channel. If you're already here on our YouTube channel, please go ahead and like or subscribe or comment or just whatever you want to do that keeps us in business. And I say business, we've earned 64p so far, so if that counts, whatever. This is one of those weeks where it's an international break, so I haven't really written an episode. So this week we are winging it. The reason being, I have got about 3 million TikTok submissions to go through, which, I mean, that's probably, how long has this been? 3 months, 2 months since we've done our TikTok submissions. So that's going to be a large portion of the show. I do want to talk about England. I do want to ask you about who you think should be inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Now, Ashley Cole has just been announced. There's loads of players that have, I think, a good shout. Players that are currently playing as well. I mean, I don't know how long you have to be retired for until you get the option to be inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. But I'm going to put a picture up with a few nominees. Tell me who you think from this list should be inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Ashley Cole's in there. Obviously, the greats, Thierry Henry, Alan Shearer. Who else should be in there? Let me know what you think as well. I think Ashley Cole is one of the most deserving, by the way. Probably for, I would say, the whole of my life growing up watching football, the best left back in the world that has ever existed is Ashley Cole. You can talk Roberto Carlos, you can talk Marcelo. There's something about Ashley Cole that is, yeah, just classic fullback, but he could get forward, he could play, but just as a out and out fullback who used to defend against the wingers, proper wingers back there, not the wingers that are like right-sided strikers or left-sided strikers, your Mo Salahs who are going to score but not really take you on. They were proper wingers back then, and Ashley Cole just used to be, they're so unfazed by everything. Won titles, won everything pretty much. Did he win a Champions League? He didn't win a Champions League. Wow, Ashley Cole didn't win a Champions League. That can't be right. Chelsea never won it until 2012. Was he playing? No, Ryan Bertrand was. See, this is what I mean. When I say I don't script it and I haven't done anything this week, I'm going to be on tangents. So you'll have to deal with that. Did Ashley Cole win a Champions League? He didn't, did he? I'm going to have to get some... I've got my phone here. Normally, I wouldn't even look things up because I'd be like, oh, it's too disrespectful to you guys. But there's five of you watching, so whatever. I'm not supposed to swear either in the first 5 minutes of a YouTube video. But that's out the window. Ashley Cole, Champions League. Did he win it? Doesn't say. Class. Did Ashley Cole win Champions League is what I searched. I swear, I'm not even a real person. During his time at Stamford Bridge, left back won the Champions League. He did win the Champions League. 2012. Drogba. Yes. Shut up. You know, did Ashley Cole won the Champions League, by the way? I swear I'm not English. Right, what are we going to talk about? No Premier League. Loads of international football. It's the international break. Should we talk about the England shirt? If anyone doesn't know the reason behind the backlash and everything, here's an idiot telling us her view.
I've just bought the new England shirt, right? It was £125. What the f***? I don't even need to mention the flag. Like, we should stand against buying this. We should show that we are not woke and we are proud to be English. Don't change our flag. Like, leave it alone.
That was Astrid Wett telling us to boycott the England shirt. Do you know what? I would boycott the England shirt, but Astrid West told us not to. Yeah. Can we get rid of these girls out of the football Twitter, please? I don't know. Has that girl ever said anything sincere in her life, or is it just for you to go and subscribe to her OnlyFans? Yeah, but the England shirt, genuinely. What was wrong with this one? Do you know what actually pissed me off? That we have to change shirts every season. Like, I know clubs do it and, you know, but the price these England shirts are, the price that any football kit is, I paid £90 for my Man United shirt this season. You've got to pay £124.99 for this new England shirt if you want the authentic one. It's £85 or something, even if you just want a replica. Like, where do you think we have the money? Like, it's all right if you're in an established job. Like, I'm old enough to have, you know, I earn okay money. I'm looking at it thinking, I can't justify that. £125 for a shirt. I could buy a really nice Ralph Lauren shirt and go on a night out and still have change left over. Or I could buy an England shirt that I've got to throw away in a year's time. Like, it's a disgrace. And that's not the only disgrace. And I will say it, and I don't care. I am not one of these right-wingy people. Oh, the f***ing flag's the f***ing flag, son. Don't f***ing change it. The flag is the flag. Don't change it. No. Oh, look at this playful update we've done on your sacred flag. Like, you don't get to do that, especially Nike as an American organization. You don't get to play around with people's flags. And I don't know why the English aren't allowed to say anything about this, by the way. Why are we getting backlash? And actually, it's from fellow English people. If Welsh people had their flag, the dragon became a goat, and they just put, oh, it's just a playful update on the Welsh flag, and it's a goat, they'd be up in arms. Don't change the colours of a flag. It's pretty sacred. It's not the biggest issue in the world, but just don't do it. You don't need to. Your audience is who you're pissing off. It's English people who are going to buy this shirt. It's English people who are going to be pissed off that you've changed the flag. Don't change it. It's not a massive issue, but it is enough for me to be like, just, what are you doing? What are you getting? I don't even know if it's like a wokey thing or a nod to the trans or the bisexual community. I don't know. And if it is, there's so many ways we can say we support these people without changing something that you know is going to get people irate. It's just, how is that beneficial to your cause? I always think, like, there's loads of things that I agree with that I feel strongly about, but I wouldn't put them in the way that some of these arguments or movements have gone, because I know it's just going to piss people off. It's not going to get the support that I need. For example, if you want people to be on your side, don't piss them off. Give them an opportunity to be on your side. Don't ostracize them and say that you are wrong and you're bad and you're this terrible person for not thinking the same as me. It is great that we live in a society where you can openly be gay, trans, whatever you want to be, and you feel like you can say you are, and society's not going to absolutely kill you. And, you know, what we used to be, you know, even 10, 15, 20 years ago. But also, let's not go too far down that road and try and alienate everyone and try and make everyone who doesn't really feel as strongly about that topic. I don't know, man. I don't know what tangent I'm going on. I'm just annoyed. Don't change the colours of the flag. Don't, you know what you're doing, because there's no smoke without fire. That colouring of the flag is pretty close to that like transy kind of flag. And I don't know which one, they've got loads of flags, but it's really close. And why can't we support that cause without changing the national flag? Like, you know that's going to piss people off. And I don't know if it is. I actually don't know if it is. So I'm not going to go too far down on that. But if it is, don't do it. If it isn't, why is it so close? There must be, someone's consciously made that effort to choose those colours. You look at the shades of those colours. I don't know, man. It's like these people just love gaslighting us. Like, it's like they know, okay, the trans flag, that means something to you guys. And I understand that is great. You've got that. That's your movement. That's what you feel. And I would not for one second try and change that. Hey, I feel strongly about my country. I feel patriotic. And I don't think that's racist. And I don't think that's a problem to feel patriotic about my country. But why are you now changing my flag? I'm not changing yours. I'm supporting you. Again, we don't even know, but it's close and it's too close. And I don't understand why we change it. Nike, change it back. It's simple. Why, I've been speaking about this for like the last 15 minutes. It's not even a massive issue, but it just feels like we're being gaslit constantly by the really hard left people. I'm not even right wing, not even in the slightest. I'm very centre, if not quite liberal. But what is going on, man? I don't know, a football podcast. Anyway, let's actually talk about England, not the shirt. Let's talk about England versus Brazil. A lot of people were pissed off after the game. We lost. It was a difficult game to watch. We barely created any chances. But again, it's a friendly. So are we expected to go and, you know, knock six past Brazil? No, we're there to figure out how we can perform against the highest level opposition. We were out with our best left back. That showed massively. We played Conor Gallagher in central midfield, which I'm a bit... I think there's enough of that. I like Conor Gallagher. Don't get me wrong. I actually like Conor Gallagher, and I've seen him quite a lot this season for Chelsea and actually had really good games, great energy. But in that England team, he just kind of reminded me like of a dog in a bank. Like, he's happy to be there, but not for a second does he understand fixed rate mortgages or how it functions opening a bank account or how to deposit a check. Like, this is not where he should be. Why is he in there? Why is the dog in the bank? It says no dogs allowed, but you've brought in Conor Gallagher. I just think that third midfield spot, I've said it a couple of weeks ago, why are we not playing Phil Foden in it? And if you want to be conservative, like, I'm a massive Gareth Southgate fan, but I get being conservative, but try it out. Foden is such a waste on the right wing. He'll be such a waste on the left wing. Play him centrally. Allow him to be the kind of dictator of play. Bellingham, Rice, Foden. There's your midfield three. Worst case scenario, put Cobbie in there. No more Conor Gallagher's, no more Jordan Henderson's, no more players like that. The players that just remind you of just like, boring digestive biscuits. No more digestive biscuits in midfield. The Belgium game, by the way, I'm recording this on before the game kicks off, so I don't know the result. I know that Rice is due to be captain England on his 50th appearance, which is fantastic. Love Declan Rice. I think he's unbelievable for England and unbelievable for Arsenal. I actually think he's been the player of the year at Arsenal this season. And that's a point, actually. A lot of people are saying really stupid things, but Declan Rice has been the player of the season so far. And that is not just for the fact that he's been brilliant, but also he was transferred in. This is a guy who spent pretty much his career. I think he was at Chelsea as a youngster, but he's spent most of his career, or all of his professional career, at West Ham, at not a giant club. And then he's drafted into Arsenal team that is pushing for a Premier League title. And he's got to step up. And he didn't just step up. He's now playing in almost like a more advanced role. He's on set pieces. He's winning games in last minute. And he's involved in a massive title race. So massive respect to Declan Rice. I think he's brilliant. But yes, that is the midfield three. And obviously, like I said, I've not watched the Belgium game yet. It's about to kick off. I know that he's going to be captain, and massive congratulations to Declan Rice. It's well deserved, and there'd be plenty more caps to come from him. I think the thing with England is we're all so excited, but there's like 20% of fans who are excited and in support of Gareth Southgate, and will just support the team no matter what. And then the large majority of 80% of people who just cannot stand him and almost want to see us lose so he gets sacked. There's grown men acting like children every time we lose. There's a guy called Rory Jennings. I don't watch much of him, but he's one of those people I've always avoided watching any of his stuff because it that sort of... I don't know what, it's clickbaity, and we're guilty of it on this channel, but it always kind of annoys me, so I try to not watch it. I did watch a few things, and the more I watch of him, I actually quite liked a lot of what he said, and I actually agree with him for a lot of what he said. He seemed like the only person on all of these shows that talked any sense. But he's coming out saying, Gareth Southgate is a disgrace, he's a coward, and he's like, are you 12 years old? The same happens with Mark Goldbridge, by the way. And again, another guy. I cannot stand that guy. And he's a massive man baby. It's his man child just coming out, 30 years old plus, calling out a manager saying he should be sacked because we lost a game. And it's, look, you can call for someone's head if you lose a game. I'm one of those that I'm not a massive fan of Eric Ten Hag. I don't think he should be in charge, but I'm not going to blast it all over Twitter, calling him out, all this negativity, especially with England, a few months away from a tournament. Give us some positivity. Southgate's not going to be sacked, so get behind him for this tournament. Whether you believe it or not, so what? Like, what does it make any difference to you if you are supporting someone who's not going anywhere? Like, the only positive outcome is if you pretend like you support him. Imagine the difference if you weren't negative about everything leading up to an international tournament. Southgate's not going to change his mind because Rory Jennings is on the Twitter giving it all that, saying that he should be ashamed of himself for not playing more offensively. Southgate's going to do whatever he wants to do. Get behind him, pretend like it after the tournament's done, then say whatever you want as a massive man baby. And same as Mark Goldbridge, all he does, he cannot wait for England to lose until he's like straight on there. He probably drafts a tweet before the England game and then waits for us to lose or draw and then schedules it for post-kickoff. Like, that's the sort of people that we see the most of. Southgate's doing a good England job. There's no one who could have done a better job at that point. And the reason I say that is because no one has done a better job. We had years of mediocrity, of not making even a final, let alone semi-finals. And Southgate came in, banged out a semi-final, a quarter-final, and a final, which arguably we should have won. We lost on penalties. These aren't times where, under Capello, managers are won things, massive trophies. These are times where we needed to rebuild the England squad's mentality, not tactically. I think that was the most important thing. I think tournament football is more about the mentality rather than the actual tactically, because everything's tight, everything's cagey, everything relies on big moments. You need a manager who can get the squad A, playing, but B, ready to fight for the country, ready to fight for that badge, and in the right frame of mind that when those big moments come up, you don't make a mistake, you do put the ball in the back of the net. And I think Southgate has ushered that team down this path. There's no one I'd rather in a final right now than Gareth Southgate. This is a guy now who has lost the final, understood his mistakes with this same pretty much group of players. There's someone right here, ready-made experience to get us over the line. And I think Southgate's the man for that. So, Yeah, I don't know. I'm not one of those boo boys, and anyone who boos any England player is a disgrace. Anyone who boos and shouts their mouth off at an England manager is a disgrace. Get behind your country. It's our best team against your best team. The fans are part of that. Any negativity is not going to help this England national team. That's just how I feel. And by the way, as well, I did a little bit before the show. I know I said I didn't prepare loads, but I did have a look at just all of England's potential competition. First of all, we've got to get out of a group against two really difficult sides, Denmark and Serbia, and they're not going to be a walk in the park. You know, they're two very good teams. So we've got to get out of the group. Then you have the likes of Portugal. And I'm going to go through some of these teams and tell you about some of these teams. But we have Portugal. Roberto Martinez is Portugal. Ruben Dias, João Cancelo, Rafa Guerreiro, Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, Paulinho and Ronaldo. These are just some of the players that play for these teams before you get too far ahead of yourself and think England have a God-given right to win this tournament. France, under Deschamps, Mbappe, Saliba, Griezmann, Theo Hernandez, Pavard, Dembele, Lucas Hernandez. There is a squad full of stars. For Germany, under Nagelsmann, granted, Germany aren't in their best kind of era, but Jamal Musiala, Florian Wirtz, Toni Kroos, Leroy Sané, Antonio Rudiger, these aren't nobodies. These are top, top level players. Spain, under De La Fuente, these are the same Spanish players under the same manager, by the way, who won the Nations League. Not easy to do. Gavi, Rodri, Morata having the best season of his life as well, by the way. Netherlands, under Koeman, Virgil van Dijk, De Jong, Depay, De Ligt, Ake, Frimpong. These are England's competitions. And for some reason, England fans think, oh, if Southgate doesn't win this, that is it. He's a disgrace. It's a tournament. Matches are decided in moments. They can be decided. You could win or lose a tournament in tournament football on one referee decision. We saw it with France in the World Cup when we faced them in the quarterfinal. Just before Tchouameni's goal, we had an absolute stonewall banker free kick down the other side, which only someone who was match fixing would miss. And he missed it, and they went up at the other end and scored. Kane missed a penalty, and that was for 2-2. These are moments. You don't win a tournament based off the same way that you think. I think a lot of people think a manager is the same in international football as it is in club football. That's why everyone wants Mourinho or these stupid managers in charge of England. Don't have a manager in charge of England who's not English. Don't have a Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. What a great guy. What a great player. Why is he in the England setup? I don't understand. And it's not do you know what? And it's so annoying because people, they cannot wait to say, oh, that's racist. That's xenophobic or whatever you want to say. That's nationalist. Because you don't want someone from a different country in your international setup. Come to our country, enjoy it, love it, we'll accept you. But this is international football where we take our best players who have English nationality against your best players from Germany, Spain, Austria, wherever. So we should have 11 English players and a backroom staff of all English people. It's our best against your best. It's sport. It's not that deep. We don't have to. Why are we bringing in a Dutch? It just drives me. And then people want Spanish managers. Would you take Guardiola as an England manager? Yeah. No, let's take Messi as well while we're at it. I don't get it. As bad as an English manager can be, we can have the worst set of English managers to choose from. We've got to pick one. We don't get to go, oh, yeah, but wouldn't it be nice to have a French? What's the point then? Let's just do club football. Forget, scrap it, international football. Why do I feel like that is controversial? If you're English, you get to play for England. If you're Welsh, you get to play for Wales. I don't want any Welsh players. In the same way, Wales shouldn't have any English players. You are born or you have nationality to that country. If you decide, you know, say you were born in a different country, you're born in Jamaica, then you move over to England and you build up however many years it takes to become a full resident, a full citizen of that country. If you have not competed for the national team of Jamaica, you are well within your rights to play for England. And I love that. But hey, you don't get to go, oh, you were Dutch. can you come over and help us? No, no, what's the point? What's the point? There's no competition then. What's the point in international competition? Man, why do I feel like that's a strong opinion? Or that's a controversial opinion that if you're English, you play for England. If you're not, you play for someone else and that's fine. Come and live here. Come and enjoy our terrible culture. But don't play for our national teams and be on the coaching staff. And that's not Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's fault. That's the FA's fault. We have this thing as well. I think that there's this weird misconception in football that when you aren't being picked for your national side, that you get to go, ah, not really fancy myself over here. Might be easier to get into this team. Okay, I'll go and play for Ivory Coast. Wilfried Zaha, I think he played a friendly for England, didn't he? He definitely got in the squad. And then he goes and plays for Ivory Coast. You don't get both. I think you turn 18, you choose your nationality, and that is it. If you're not good enough to get into the squad or the right manager doesn't like you, tough. That's how it works. You don't get to go, okay, I've played a couple of games for England at friendly level. I've played for the shirt. I've sang the national anthem, but I don't feel like I'm going to get into this World Cup squad. Let's have a look at Ghana and vice versa. I remember there was a period of time where England were struggling for midfielders and Mikel Arteta wasn't getting called up for the Spain squad, never made an international appearance. So the FA were trying to tap him up. No, he's Spanish. I don't know. This is what happens when I don't write anything for an episode. You get me ranting for 30 minutes. Yeah, anyone who thinks that England winning the Euros is a foregone conclusion, think again. There are plenty of teams. I think that Portugal side, that France side, they are so strong. And I think this is an outside shout. I don't think they'll necessarily win it. But have a look out for Austria under Ralf Rangnick. 12 out of 13, their last 13 games, they're unbeaten. They beat Germany away. Like, they've had some, decent sides they've played. And I don't know, they seem really strong. They've got a good spine, some good players, European footballers. But there's something about that manager. I feel like since he's come in, I don't know, could be an outside shout. But you've got to think about these other teams, Italy, you know, Croatia, Denmark in our group as well, and Austria. And think, you know, we think we can just walk past them because we've got Jude Bellingham. Like, that's not going to happen. I do think we are favourites, and I can see why. And I actually do think we have got a really good shout. This has to be our year if we're going to do it. But I also don't think it is a massive disgrace to the country if we don't win. And even if we get knocked out in a semi-final to a France or a Portugal or a Spain or a Netherlands, I understand. It's international football. So I thought this week, because I didn't have loads of Premier League stuff to go off, I thought, why not go for a TikTok submission? So the rest of this episode, I am going to try and get through your TikTok submissions. This is part of the show that people have asked me to bring back. The reason I haven't is because we've had so much extra things to talk about. We've had guest episodes and things like that where I couldn't put it in, that we've kind of fallen behind. And it's like when you're struggling with homework and you haven't done 6 essays in a row and you're like, oh God, I've got to do them all now. But it is one of my favorite parts of the show. And I do love kind of having that interaction with everyone who sends them in. So why don't we do it? I did have a phone. I was going to chuck it because I typed in something wrong on Google. Did Ashley Cole won Champions League? Right, let's do some TikTok submissions then. Come on. Oh, come on, man. Technology. Nothing will get me more mad than technology. Shut up. Asking me to do stuff. Why does my phone always ask me to do stuff? I'll do what I want. Can't believe what I've just seen. This is interesting. So anyone who hasn't ever used a VR, the Oculus is what I've got, but there is a way of watching football on there, which is in three dimensions almost, but it puts you in a seat in the stadium to watch the game. Yeah, the reason I bring this up is because Sky are getting rid of it. They're scrapping it. And I have no idea why. It must be that not enough people are using it, but it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. You literally put your headset on. Sky will be having a live game, say, for example, Bournemouth versus Burnley. And you think, oh, it's a bit of a naff game. Put the VR headset on, go on Sky Worlds, put yourself into the stadium and you just watch it. You can see the fans next to you, around you. It's crazy. And they're getting rid of it. We need to start a petition to get them to bring it back. By the way, there's like VRs, the Oculus. If you want the base one, it's like $299. And I know it sounds like maybe it's quite a lot, but £299. And it's one of the craziest experiences ever. And I'm so glad I got one. They are absolutely nuts. But that VR football experience is crazy. And hopefully they don't get rid of it for very long. Jaden Philogene, some player, isn't he? Like, one of those players that you just know, he's in the championship, but he ain't going to be there for long. How Hull managed to get hold of him, I have no idea. And why Villa decided to let him go? They must have a buyback clause or something, but what a player, well above championship level. I think he scored last week for the under-21s as well. Massive future for this kid. What a player. And I think I've spoken to a few people of different kind of fan bases who have said that he is some player. And this was going back a while ago. Really, really kind of kicking on for Hull this season and also for the 21s. Yeah, I would have hoped a Premier League side. I would have thought Villa would get him back. I mean, I'd be shocked if there is no release clause for Jaden Philogene, but you never know. Some teams do let these players go. Salah and De Bruyne from Chelsea. I think he's a real top level player, and potentially maybe he's, I think, a 30, 40, 50 million pound player, and I think the Hull got him for like 12. Yeah, madness. How much did Hull get him for? Hull transfer Philogene. I've just looked it up. Okay, so Villa have first refusal on Jaden Philogene at the end of the season for Hull if Hull are promoted, and that's for 15 million quid, which I did think when Hull picked him up, I thought, that's a top player, that's a Premier League player. How have they managed that? And obviously Villa have done their due diligence and, you know, put it in there and made sure that they're not going to lose out, because yeah, he looks like he's going right to the top. Some player, Jaden Philogene. Wow. TikTok submissions. Not having for a single second monkeys. I'm not having them. I actually refuse to believe they exist. I think I'm being gaslit into believing that these are real things.
A grassroots football club has stood by its decision to boycott its Sunday Wembley Cup semi-final after discovering what it calls horrific examples of misogyny on their opponents' social media accounts. Camden and Islington United players pride themselves on being inclusive, with more than half of their board members being women. After withdrawing from their match yesterday, the Amateur Football Alliance agreed to postpone the event pending an investigation. Sam Holder's report contains some of that derogatory language.
Camden and Islington United were through to a cup semi-final when they found out the name of their opposition, Munter Hunters FC. For those who haven't come across the word...
Can we relax for a second? Fucking hell.
I'm going to punch your fucking head in. Look at my dog.
Who is handing out steroids to kangaroos? Because that's not the first kangaroo that I've seen that looks absolutely jacked and has grabbed the dog. Kangaroos are taking over and they're grabbing dogs. If a kangaroo grabbed your dog, would you not fucking fill it in? Well, that not that one, that would fill you in. Did he get dropped by this kangaroo? I feel like the video camera is going to start again and it's just going to come up and it's the kangaroo after the fight and he's dropped the bloke. Look at the arrogance of a kangaroo. They're so confident. If I had a percentage of 1% of a kangaroo's confidence, I'd take over the world. Something so funny about the Geordie accent. He is really fast. He's motoring along.
Hover.
Oh, man. I had a really tough time not throwing up then. I can't watch stuff like that. It makes my throat be sick. God damn it. Why? Eat like a normal person. Anyone listening, that is Mbeumo greeting Johan Visser to training. It actually reminds me of anyone who's watched Scrubs when Turk gets back from his honeymoon and he greets JD. I want a friend like Visser and Mbeumo.
If you want to wait here, I'll go and get him a pair of boots.
Oh, mate, you've got a friend.
Thank you.
Really rate that. That's a young United lad, Shay Lacey. By the way, he apparently, by all accounts, is the next big thing. Obviously, we've had Maynou come through this season, Greenwood, Rashford, some like top talents, but apparently he is like the next big thing. And what a lovely gesture for a kid. It drives me nuts when I see footballers and... They probably see these kids all the time, and Shay Lacey's obviously a young lad himself, but just give him 5 minutes. You have to give him a pair of boots or give him a shirt or anything. Give him 5 minutes, but to give him boots and shin pads and sign him, I really rate that. Top lad.
Malvina, did you do the pull forwards on Friday or not? You need to come and find me and ask me what you need to do. I'll be your line manager and I'll tell you what needs to happen. Because I'm giving you the task and they're not being done. Say Joseph, somebody else has asked me to do it. So only report to me, don't take tasks from anybody else, yeah? I don't want to keep waiting every single morning where you've both got to do the same job, yeah? We should have already been able to have handed it over by now. Been a few weeks, isn't it? So you're either clearly handing it...
What am I watching? This guy reminds me, the phrase, he looks uncomfortable in his own skin, the first time I ever heard that when I was a kid, someone said that about someone, and they said it about someone who genuinely, I took it like literally, like they felt like their skin didn't fit and they needed to get out of it. And the guy that they were talking about was kind of looked like a snake. And I was like, yeah, he kind of does look like he's uncomfortable in his skin and he needs to shed his skin. This guy looks like the literal definition of being uncomfortable in his skin. Why am I watching this guy? Don't send me stuff like this. That actually annoys me.
When I say this is true, this is as true as some Mancunian taxi driver's word.
Take it
swears
with a pinch of salt.
Exactly.
Go on then.
But he said, Mason Greenwood, I fully believe, besides the voice note, I fully believe he did it. Every single sense. That
it's
guy.
Not exactly that, a thing.
Well, I know, but wait till you hear what I'm going to say.
Go on.
He said, so obviously it was like...
He's born a woman.
No. So he said Mason Greenwood went to pick up his missus from a night out once, but he'd had a drink, so he phoned me to pick him up, to pick her up. So I was driving them, and we get there in Deansgate Locks or something like that. And he says he gets out of the car and his missus is being like, there's like 5-6 lads flirting with her or whatever. Mm. And Mason Greenwood gets out of the car, grabs her, pulls her in the car, tells his lads to fuck off, gets in the car and like gives her a roasting in the back of the car. Mm. Like, what are you doing flirting?
He brings her
lads?
A roast?
All this, no. Fucking Sean up you.
Sorry, go
ahead. Oh my God, you are going to make some fucking friends online, you. Anyway, he's been a toxic bastard, whatever, all this stuff. He puts her in the boot of the car.
What car was it? I'm just trying to get the full
guy, man.
Of the story.
I don't know what car it was. I didn't ask the taxi driver. Sorry. Stop telling me that this famous footballer put his fucking missus in the boot.
I'm just
what
trying
car
to get
was
context
it?
For the story.
Well, it was a hatchback. What do you want me to say? She had some room. She had some room to breathe.
How much room in a hatchback? Carry on.
I don't know what car it was.
I'm just
it doesn't
to get
matter
all
what
facts.
Car it was.
Right.
Exactly. Anyway,
go
he was
on.
Like, he put her in the boot.
Yeah, that's
got back in the front and just went drive. And he was like, I've literally didn't know what to do. That's never happened in my career, obviously. And he was like,
I wonder if you got to sign an NDA when you're one of those drivers, just never say anything.
Well, I said this to him. I was like, are you not supposed to be not telling this stuff?
Well, I could be a reporter.
And he's like, but do you know what he said? He was like, no, they didn't care with stuff like those. Everyone used to think because I was driving for United, I was getting paid a fortune. I was on minimum wage. He said, I worked for United for 10 years and I was on £10 an hour.
You should have worked for City.
Yeah, well, shut up, you.
We all know what Greenwood's like, but I think the biggest problem here is that the taxi driver just carried on and did drive with a girl bundled up in the boot of his car. What an idiot. Equally as guilty, in my opinion. Ring the police. Say no.
You don't have to do that, Richarlison. No, I'll have to do this. He's been my favourite player.
That's terrifying. Why do they all kick like it's their first time kicking a football? They all look like they're kicking with wellies on.
Is there one glaring thing that has gone wrong?
Marcus Rashford's form is a big concern. And it feels like he's been on an island, that he's not really connected with this group. David De Gea, you let leave, club legend, you bring in Andre Onana. Has that worked out?
Listen, because Onana was wonderful prior to his stint at United, which is just quite unfortunate, to say the least.
Yes.
And so it leads me to believe that there's a lot more transpiring at United. You bring in players to improve the squad, and they're...
The players don't improve.
Far worse. Right. They don't improve. So to me, I'm looking at the top.
I think the problem with Rashford is... partly to do with form, but I just think he cannot stand the fans. I think he hates the United fans. And when you've got that disconnect between fans and a player, like you look at his celebration against Liverpool the other week, and he's running over to the fans and he like kind of loses himself in that moment. And as soon as he gets close to them, he's almost like, ah, fuck off, and turns round. I wouldn't question Rashford's commitment to Man United and his love for Manchester United, because that is evident, that is clear. But he obviously reads a lot of messages. He obviously reads a lot of negative things about him, which is difficult not to, but he seriously has taken it to heart, and you can see that because he doesn't have respect for the fans. He almost has a disdain for the fans, the Man United fans, and I don't think that can be repaired. I don't know what he's got to do in terms of repairing that relationship, because the fans aren't going to start that repair, because as much as they'll cheer for him and support him when he's on the pitch, if he has a bad game and doesn't run about and he doesn't really put his effort in and show that he's putting that effort in, United fans, we haven't got a reason to support him in the same way as we might a Kobbie Mainoo or a Garnacho. Or, by the way, Garnacho's not having the best season, but runs about, puts himself about, leaves everything on the pitch. When Rashford does, the United fans get behind him. Rashford is such a good player. He's always going to score a goal. So we're going to have a period where Rashford will score 3, 4, 5 in a couple of months, and he will hit a patch of form again. But United fans will always cheer for him. But he just, it looks like the situation is untenable between Rashford and the fans. And I think when that happens, I don't think there's a way back. And as much as Rashford might love United, if he doesn't love the fans, why would he put everything into the club? Why would he put everything towards... I mean, don't get me wrong, if I'm in his position, I would. But he's obviously taken a lot of what he's read to heart, sees the United fans criticise him and thinks, I don't particularly want to play for you. I'll play for the badge, but not for you. I might be wrong about that, but every time I see Rashford celebrate, it's almost like he's not celebrating for the fans. He's celebrating for the club and his teammates. And I think that's a problem. I do think that's an issue. Right, that's TikTok submissions. I won't do any more because we've got hundreds to go through still. We are coming to the end of the show. Guys, if you have managed to get all the way here, then please hit that like button. I really appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe and hit that notification button because it tells you when a new episode has dropped. We are back next Wednesday, every Wednesday until the end of the season. Have a great week. This week on football, Ashley Cole inducted into the... Sorry. I can't do this.